Good morning, everybody. Jesus put a song into our hearts. That's what we're going to sing very soon. He also taught us how to live in harmony. Is that true? Yeah. He taught us how to be a family. Now, not all families are wonderful, are they? But with Christ, we've got a lot better shot at it. How about he turned our sorrow into dancing? I can certainly testify to that. Why don't we stand and sing, Jesus put this song into our heart. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of joy no one can take away. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Different faces, different races, he made us one. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Faster. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Loving one another with the love that he gives. Jesus taught us how to be a family. Jesus turned our sorrow into dancing. Jesus turned our sorrow into dancing. Change our tears and sadness into rivers of joy. Wonderful to praise God. A bit hard when you lose your voice, though, unfortunately. Part of today's reading is from Psalm 130, and I'll just read just a tiny little bit. It says, "Out of the depths I cry out to you, Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Out of the depths I cry out to you. Hear my voice. Have mercy." Can you testify to any of that? Has the Lord loved you through the depths of your life? And if so, then you know what it's like to really have to lean on God. They say that, you may agree or disagree with this, they say that you have to have been through something to be able to minister to someone right or well. And I tend to agree with that. Maybe it's not every case, but it certainly helps when you've actually experienced it yourself. So as we worship today and hear the precious word of God and sing his praises, let's be very confident that God is attentive to our cries for mercy. Let's just sing that first verse and chorus of that same song and recognise the truth and the words.
Let us sing to the God of salvation. Let us sing to the Lord our rock. Let us come to his house with thanksgiving. Let us come before the Lord and sing.
Father, if today there is a cry of mercy, a cry of help, please be attentive to our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I didn't look at the notices. Can everybody help me out here? Brian, what's coming up on Tuesday?
Nothing.
Nothing. What about the following Tuesday? Can you let us know what's going on?
We're going to the fisheries.
Okay. Then Ian's going to give us a notice.
Yes. Got to turn it up the right way. This is a notice about books. You may have noticed that there are some books on a table in the foyer. They are for you to peruse and take home and keep. That's right, Theo. Because they have come from a clearing out, a sorting out of the books that were in the library and up past the kitchen hatch. And so if you see something that you'd like to think that might be, even if you think it just a little, it might be interesting, please pick it up, take it home, but don't bring it back. You can recycle it if you must, but read it and learn from it. That's the first one. Secondly, the library in the, where you may recall, if you've ever been up that passage past the kitchen and in that next door, that has got Shelley's books in there now. So Shelley, you know, might want to read them. So don't take them. Yeah, we'll ask Shelley first, yes. Yes, that's the second thing. Thirdly, some of those books that were in the library and are not on the table for you to take home, some of them are reference books, and they are in that room around yonder in a new, it's relatively new to this church, bookshelf that's on the angle. It's like in the corner that far direction. Right? So it's at an angle, it's a narrow one, it's full of reference books. You can look at them, borrow them, but please return them to that reference section. And there are also some other books that were in the library that are in behind the clock. You know, there's a clock in this space. Well, behind that brick wall where the clock is, behind that there's a bookshelf there, and that's got some books in that you can borrow. They're all neatly alphabeticised, whatever the word is. And one more thing, while you're in that corner, there are new times available. And this particular one, which looks like this, has got an article in there about Professor Ian Olver, AM. He who was elected on Thursday as the moderator-elect. He will be the next moderator after Peter Morrell, who is the current moderator. So there's other stuff about things that were talked about the last few days when they held the 2026 Uniting Church Synod. So they're not just to be paperweights on the shelf out there. Please take them home and read them. And if you haven't got any other notices, they're in the news sheet. That's...
Thank you.
No cost. No cost. No.
Thank you. We're going to go into a time, a prayer of confession and assurance. And it's going to be a little bit different. Sylvia's going to pray, and then in between the prayers, we're going to sing the song, a spirit song. So I'd ask you to remain seated as this happens. Thanks, Sylvia.
Heavenly Father, we praise you above all the heavens. And today, Lord, out of the depths, we cry out to you. O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be attentive to our cry for mercy. Father, we seek your guidance in the paths of life. Where we've chosen the wrong path, please forgive us and gently guide us back into your presence, for we trust in you. Precious Lord, there have been times where we've fallen short in speech. Perhaps our words have been hurtful or not true. Please forgive us. Lord, sometimes our thoughts are not your thoughts, and for that we are sorry. If we've ever taken you for granted, Father, we seek your forgiveness and pray your mercy upon our lives in Jesus' name.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his blood. Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you and his Spirit like a dove. Will descend upon your life and make you whole.
Heavenly Father, we marvel at the amazing grace you've shown us by sending your Son to die on the cross and to raise again in 3 days later, so that we too have the wonderful privilege of ascending into heaven, just as Jesus did. We thank you, Lord, that we have this amazing assurance. an assurance that when we are genuinely sorry for our misgivings and transgressions, then you will and do forgive us. And it is a forgiveness that is like no other, one that brings true peace and comfort into one's soul. Lord, may we be bold enough today to declare that this assurance is real, and we praise you for it. Amen.
Oh, come and see this song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to his name. Oh, give him all your tears and sadness, give him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name.
And hear the words of the Lord. Indeed, if our sins are truly forgiven, if we are genuinely sorry. Thank you, Ian.
The Bible readings, there are two of them. The first one is some selected verses from the second book of Samuel, chapter 18, beginning at verse 5. And it goes like this. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom, for my sake." And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. David's army marched out of the city to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There Israel's troops were routed by David's men, and the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest swallowed up more men that day than the sword. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's hair got caught in the tree. Wouldn't happen to me. He was left hanging in midair, while the mule he was riding kept on going. And 10 of Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him, and killed him. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "My lord the king, hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by delivering you from the hand of all who rose up against you." And the king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And the Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." And the king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. And as he went, He said, "Oh, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And the second reading is from Psalm 130. "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the depths of the middle of winter, like it is now, with its many short, cold and showery days, which is going to be this week's weather, it can be hard to rise above the gloom and to remember that spring and summer are on the way. The days are getting longer, although it was only about 1 degree at 8 o'clock yesterday when I was out on my bike. So how do we find hope on cloudy days? What can we look forward to? For some of us, it's overseas trips. And so we can get to the summer of the Northern Hemisphere, where it's been incredibly hot these last few days. But for most of us, there's not much that we can do other than rugging up and staying warm by the fire. Who's been doing that? Yeah? Well, what we can do, we can read, we can remember. And some of my reading has included the biblical stories about King David and his heirs and successors from 2 Samuel, and also some of the Psalms, which was the ancient Hebrew hymn book. And as you might have reflected on that, there's a raw honesty to these timeless words about life some 3,000 years ago. And they can help us to think about our lives today in new ways. But before we look at this somewhat gloomy bit of David's life, with its intrigue and losses and grief, let me pray. God of grace and hope, open our ears and our hearts and our spirits to hear your word for us today. Amen. The immense depth of grief is never greater than when a child dies. And while that hasn't happened to me personally yet, but I have had to deal with the aftermath where children have died. And early in my ministry, I had two funerals for infants. One was a cot death, a child only a few months old, and the other was a toddler who had crawled under a pool fence and drowned. Life isn't supposed to be like that. Parents shouldn't have to bury their own children. And in the face of losses like that, sometimes the parents are struck dumb, they're silent, they're unable to comprehend what has happened. And I remember the stony silence of the couple involved after that cot death. They were just numb. And sometimes a parent will cry out and weep and wail loudly, caught up in the agony and the distress of their immense loss. And I remember another occasion when a near hysterical mother cried down the telephone, "My son is dead! My son is dead!" She just heard that her son in his early 20s had died in a car crash. Sometimes a grieving parent will rage at God because all their hopes and their dreams have just evaporated in an instant, like a puff of dust in an autumn dust storm. When the reality of their loss hits them, they want someone to blame. A few years ago on Boxing Day, my sister rang to tell us that their son, whose name was David, had died unexpectedly up in Cairns. They'd all had a wonderful extended family Christmas the day before. And then when David didn't appear for lunch on Boxing Day, Stad went upstairs to find him, and there he was, lying dead. He was only 43. And there was no obvious cause for why he died. Somewhat unhelpful when the coroner couldn't find any obvious cause. It's the unpredictability of life that catches us all at times. We're sailing along, enjoying life, happily engrossed in our life cycles of work and play, or retirement for some, and then the phone rings, or the doorbell sounds, and the good stuff is all gone. What do they do then? How do you face life again? And that's what happened to David, the king, about 3,000 years ago, when he heard that Absalom, his son, was dead. And he wished it were his death that would be mourned that day, not the death of his son Absalom. And as we heard, before the battle that day, King David had begged his loyal army of supporters to deal gently with Absalom, his son, who was in rebellion against David. Now, sons often butt heads with a parent. That's nothing new. Those sons want to test themselves, like a young bull or ram, butting heads with the older and bigger bulls and rams in the herd. Or like politicians plotting the overthrow of the leader of their party, like the Liberal Party in Australia did earlier this year, or like has just happened this last week in the Labor Party in the UK, with somebody else wanting to become Prime Minister and the current Prime Minister has said he will resign. And so, you know, that butting of heads, that way that children may fight their parents with their newfound bravado of youth. And when it doesn't come out as they expected or wanted, there are tears. And so 2 Samuel 18 tells how, in this battle, David's son Absalom gets his head stuck in the fork of a tree as the mule rides on. And he's found, he's helpless, and one of David's more militant military leaders, named Joab, and his 10 young armour bearers, they seize the chance not to capture Absalom, not to treat him well, but to kill him. And they think they've done a great thing. And they send the news off to David, expecting to be well rewarded. But instead of King David rejoicing at the capture of one of his enemies, even his rebellious son, David is deeply moved and he weeps uncontrollably. And David cries out, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." So what can we learn from this very emotional and immensely sad chapter? Remember, this Old Testament story is about broken family relationships and a grab for power. And it had all started at least 11 years earlier when Amnon, David's eldest son, had raped Tamar, one of David's daughters, his stepsister, and the full sister of Absalom, David's third son. And 2 years later, Absalom had killed his brother Amnon to revenge his sister's rape, and then Absalom had fled. And after 3 years in exile, Absalom was allowed to come back, but David wouldn't see him face to face for another 2 years. And over the next 4 years, Absalom very sneakily conspired to make himself so popular with all the people that he got them to rebel against David. What he did was to sit in the gate of the Jerusalem, and as people would come in and out, he'd hear their problems, and then he'd say, "Oh, why don't you do this?" And he'd basically fix it. He curried favour with the people. Now, David himself is no innocent, of course, because years after Absalom died, David seduced Bathsheba. And when she became pregnant, David arranged for Bathsheba's husband Uriah to die in battle. Now, that child of their illicit liaison died, but their next child was Solomon, who eventually became king after defeating David's fourth son, Adonijah. You don't have to remember the names. But that's just some of the background to the battle during which Absalom died. And when we see how David and the members of his family behaved, we soon realise that they are much like many of us today. Well, we may not kill people, hopefully we don't rape people, but people do have affairs. Siblings fight with each other. Parents are estranged from their children. And children die. And parents and children grieve. So is the lesson from this simply that families have been misbehaving for thousands of years? Well, yeah, that's true. And that's sad. And yet there's more to it as well. Think about the relationship between David and Absalom for a bit. Think about how David responded to Absalom's misbehaviour and to his death. Now, I'm sure that David grieved after Amnon was killed. And then Absalom ran away, acknowledging his guilt in Amnon's death. And yet he still wanted to come back. He wanted to come back home and return to David and for them to be reconciled. And while that took a while, many years, Absalom was eventually able to come back. And eventually, he could even meet with David in person. Because actions have consequences. But then after Absalom's deceitful plotting and rebellious grab for power, usurping the power of his father David, David still wanted Absalom's life preserved. And so when he died, David grieved after Absalom's death. And like many parents weeping over a lost child, David wished that he had died, not his son. And as we heard from Psalm 130, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." And one of the lessons today is that in the depths of their very honest grief, people like David still looked to God for comfort. As verse 5 of Psalm 130 says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope." We have hope. And another lesson is that even the best of families have their internal fights. It's pretty normal, not always nice. And whether it's an ancient royal household like King David of old, or like some of the present members of the House of Windsor, like William and Harry, families fight. And perhaps your own family has its tensions and disappointments. And these family fights may never be resolved satisfactorily. They may never lead to healing and restoration, no matter how much we want that. But in these long ago stories of plotting and intrigue and loss and grievous heartache, we can also see the hand of God at work. And this gives us hope for our future too. For God continued to use imperfect David and his imperfect and broken family for good. Some descendants were better than others. But eventually, many centuries later, Jesus was born, who, as we read in the scriptures, is, we know, a descendant of David. And the good news of Jesus is that just because some family members misbehave, or despite the misbehaviour of some family members, God's love for us continues, and therefore we have hope. As verse 7 of Psalm 130 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. Redemption and reconciliation is possible. And when we put our hope and our trust in the steadfast love of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, there is indeed great power to redeem, great power for us to be acceptable and to know that we are accepted by God. And it's not because we're perfect, because we know we're not. It's because we trust that God's love for us is just like God's love for David and the other imperfect members of his family. So what I invite us to do today is for those of us with an imperfect family to let go of any sense that we might have that we're an unacceptable and no good failure. Because the reality is we are all fallible human beings, just like David and Absalom. And yes, the consequences of our humanity might be that we suffer some painful and unwanted events, like the death of children or some broken family relationships. And with all the pain and the grief and the heartache that is involved in that. But never forget, there is still hope. For when we let go of our failures and turn to God through trusting in Jesus, God's love can begin that work of healing within us. And God helps us to go through and to be in that agony and endure the agony of our grief. And God helps us to emerge from the ugliness of our sin into the brightness of hope and forgiveness and reconciliation with our God. We might think we're just a dirty brown blob like an ugly insect pupa. But God can transform us like God does with an insect in metamorphosis. God transforms us from the inside out until we emerge from that being a dirty brown blob to be a beautiful butterfly. We might be in the depths of a dark and cold winter now, but spring and summer are coming. We might be lost in the darkness of grief and despair now, but by the power of God's hope, the best is yet to come. Reconciliation and restoration is possible. Let me say a prayer. O God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, forgive us if we are struggling with awkward family relationships. Help us to be reconciled with those from whom we are estranged. May we all experience the joy of hope as the love of God surrounds us day by day. And may God's love surround us and encourage us. And if we happen to be blessed with a family that hasn't got a history of heartache, help us to thank God for that too. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. I used to think, when I call out to the Lord, probably because of my poor memory, I'd say the prayer to the Lord, please help me. And an hour later, I'd forgotten that I'd asked. The next day, I had no recollection of saying the prayer. And before I knew it, and without even me realising it because of my poor memory, God had answered it. Until eventually I realised, when I've called out to the Lord, shout out to the Lord, I should just sit back and wait and listen and expect God to do something about it. And I've learnt that actually happens. It's not just a failed voice into the sky. God actually listens and is attentive to our prayer. So shall we do that now? Shall we sing the song, Shout Out to the Lord? Shout to the Lord. And recognise that he really is listening. You're probably going to have to stand for this.
Mountains.
to you today to help us use these gifts of monies and goods that you've given us in the first place to reach out to this community, Lord, and show them Jesus through help in their daily lives, but also in their spiritual life as well. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Glenys. Thanks, Orin.
Let us pray. Almighty God and our merciful Father, we give you thanks for all your goodness and your kindnesses to us and to all people. We bless you for our creation and our preservation and all the blessings of our lives, but above all, for your love, as you redeemed our world by your Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you may give us a sense of your mercies, that our hearts may be truly thankful. We pray today for your universal church and for all the people who gather to offer you praise and thanksgiving. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to the apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you," look not at our sins, but our faith in you, and grant us peace and unity. We pray today for your clergy throughout the world, and especially for our own pastor, Shelley, and our worship leaders and volunteers who live and work among your faithful. May your spirit be with each of us today at our church as we search our souls. Healer of the sick and the maimed in your world, we know that these people are always with us, seen and unseen. They require special efforts from each of us to protect them and to give them hope. Please wrap the arms of your spirit around each of them and around each of their carers and the medical staff, so that in your grace they may be healed and be able to return to everyday life. We remember today our friend and our fellow worshiper, Sue Cook, and her husband, John, as they face a crisis in their lives. We miss Sue, and we remember her with fondness and ask that your mercy be shown to her. God of grace, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, our spirits belong with you. We're on this earth for a short period of time before we return to you. That was shown spectacularly to us at the resurrection of your Son, our Savior. His sacrifice enabled the portal to be opened so that we may enter your kingdom and be reunited with you and with those whom we have loved, who have preceded us down through the ages. We ask for your blessing on each one of them. For great is our Lord, and greatly to be praised. Please listen to us, Lord, as we join together to recite the prayer that Jesus left for us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Thank you.
Thank you, Arne. How many reasons do you reckon you could come up with as why we should bless the Lord?
10,000.
You cheated. Please stand as we sing 10,000 Reasons.
Like never before.
To go back into the world with its joys and its heartaches. Be confident that the grace of God always goes with us. Live with hopes of reconciliation and healing for any broken relationships through the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Remember that with Jesus, we are never alone. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit be with us all, always. So go in peace as we love and serve our Lord. Amen. Morning to your waits.
Everybody.